Welcome to today's session. Praise the Lord, Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. We are still continuing my verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, which is the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are still in Luke chapter 5. Today we will wrap up this chapter in this session. A lot has been covered here in Luke chapter 5. Please go back and listen to the previous sessions. Okay, Luke 5a and b, that way 5c will make sense to you in context. So the gist of these upcoming verses here is that we will learn about fasting, and the Lord Jesus would emphasize about living as a new creature in Christ. Okay, so we pick it up here in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. They said to him, now if you recall, if you had listened to the previous session, which was Luke 5b, the Lord Jesus had talked to the Pharisees that he had not come to heal the healthy, he had come to heal the sick. It was like an irony, because the Pharisees were given the impression that they were spiritually perfect. They didn't need spiritual help. So the Lord Jesus had said that to them as an ironical statement. So now this discussion continues between the Lord Jesus and the Pharisees. That is what we're picking up here in verse 33, which is why it's so important to go back and listen to the previous sessions so you can approach this in context. So just to reread that, we are in Luke 5, verse 33. They, referring to the Pharisees, they said to him, they said to Jesus, John, disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Now, let's pause. So, right away, in this question, let me clarify here. One and really major difference between the ministry of John the Baptist and that of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John the Baptist's ministry had to do with preparing the way for the Messiah, right? Hopefully you've listened to the previous sessions where I described this. So John the Baptist was primarily called to prepare the way for the Messiah, and the ministry of Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of that preparation, i.e. the fulfillment of the presence and works of the Messiah. So that is a big difference right away. So they ask this question, how come the Lord Jesus' disciples were not fasting? Let's talk, before I even get into the Lord Jesus' response, let's talk about really what is fasting. Fasting is a spiritual activity, okay, that helps you, helps us to draw closer to God. And I want to clarify right now, fasting will not cause you to earn or gain something from God, which is why I want to discuss this, because there is this erroneous beliefs going among Christians that if you need something from the Lord, if you just fast enough, you pray enough, you're gonna get it. That's not true. No. In this New Testament era, in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and God speaking to us directly from His scripture, God has spoken through the man Jesus Christ. So fasting is a necessary spiritual activity that we choose to engage in so we can reduce the environmental stimuli, so we can reduce the noise and all other voices or opinions round and about us. That way we can sharpen our spirit man to be more attuned to the voice of God, because God is always, always speaking. But at times, there are so many other competing opinions, and the environment is saying ABC, God's word is saying ABC, and we just get bombarded. So fasting, the key principle here is just to quiet your mind, your soul, and sharpen your spirit man to be attuned to what God is already speaking to you in your spirit man in your heart, because God speaks in a still voice. Like I mentioned earlier, the primary way God speaks to us is through his revealed word, and he will confirm it in our heart. So when we get into fasting, we are better positioned to get clarity and hear that voice of God through his word and that confirmation from the Holy Spirit. And fasting is something that you decide. You can decide to fast from not drinking water for a set amount of time, say 6 hours, 8 hours, 1 day, 2 days, 2 days rather. It's a set amount of time and duration that you decide to set, okay? Or you can decide not to have food, okay, for X amount of time that you decide. Or you can decide not to engage in an activity that you normally like, such as going for walks or going to the gym for a period of time, and you set that time apart, you consecrate that time. And during that time, it's not an idle time. It's a time whereby you get into the Word of God, you are studying the Word of God, you are asking questions to God, you are meditating on God's word, you are taking God's promises that you are believing him for, you are speaking it over your body, you're pondering and pondering on those promises, and then you're quiet, just you and God. That's really what fasting is. And as I mentioned, this could be for 4 hours, 1 day, 2 days, whatever you decide. And as you do that, you would be sharpening your spirit man, quieting your soul, so you can be more sensitive to that voice of God. This is really all fasting is all about. Just to make sure I clarify again, fasting is not to get anything from God. So if you've heard people say, I fasted X amount of hours and then God gave me A, B, and C, that is wrong. That is not scriptural. You know what it is? God had always been wanting to talk to people and people could not listen. And then they go into this fast and suddenly they get a revelation. It's not as if God was waiting for them to get into a fast. It's just that that person got into a position whereby they were able to quiet their mind and their soul, and their spirit man was sharpened and they received from God. That's it. We do not fast to get something from God. We don't walk to get something from God. That is called works. God doesn't honor that. We receive primarily from God because of his grace, because of obedience, because we live in accordance with the word of God, and we are able to appropriate his promises, which are already available. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1:20 teaches clearly, all of the promises of God through Christ Jesus are a resounding yes and amen. So never you get into a fasting mode thinking that you have to fast for X amount of days before you get something from God. All of God's promises are available. You have to renew your mind and live in obedience and walk and live by faith in accordance with God's word and expect those promises to manifest. Okay, so that is what fasting is all about. So with that, let us continue here. So the Lord Jesus had been accused that his disciples were not fasting, while the disciples of John the Baptist and other Pharisees were fasting. Because fasting back then, during this era of the Lord Jesus' ministry and the Old Testament, was a very prominent spiritual activity. Even today, fasting is good for you. And also, it really enhances spiritual discipline. So it's all good. And there are medical benefits to fasting. Okay, I won't get into all of that. But fasting is a good spiritual activity that helps with discipline and sharpen our spirit man. So I recommend that you get into a habit of regular fasting, so you can train yourself to hear God quickly and more readily, and to tune all the extra noise out. So let us find out how the Lord Jesus would respond to this question. We are now in verse 34. Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of a bridegroom," bridegroom here referring to himself, "fast while he is with them?" That was a question. Verse 35, "But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast." So the Lord Jesus is not saying that we should not fast. That is not what he is advocating, because we know As I discussed in previous sessions, the Lord Jesus himself fasted for 40 days. He practiced this spiritual activity of fasting. That is not what the Lord Jesus is saying here, that we should not fast. No. All the Lord Jesus is saying is that I am here. I am the bridegroom, and my disciples are close to me. This is the closest they can ever get to me. There is no need for them to fast to get closer to God or to be more sensitive to God's voice, because I am God in the flesh. They are with me right now. But the time will come when I will depart from them that fasting would be necessary. That's all that he said. Okay, so with that, he went on to teach a parable. And this parable, I am going to first explain to you what he is talking about here. Wineskin, old garment, new garment, before I get into the verses. That way, once I start to read the verses and explain, you will be equipped to understand. Just keep in mind that in these upcoming verses here, the new garment the Lord Jesus is going to refer to represent the new relationship that him, the Lord Jesus, has brought. That new relationship that we can have with God the Father through Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The new garment also represents that access to God's kingdom through a relationship with God. And the new garment also refers to the new revelations and all the teachings about the kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus came to teach all of us, okay? And essentially, it's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of relating to God the Father. And for us today in the here and now, this is all about living as new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17 teaches the same thing, that all those who are in Christ are new creatures. Old things pass away, the new is here. So that is essentially the principle behind this new garment. And in this parable, the Lord Jesus talked about the old wineskin that represent the Judaism with the Old Testament do's and don'ts that he had come to fulfill and eradicate and abandon, because the new is here. So just keep that in mind as we get into these verses. So let's get into these verses proper. He told them this parable: no one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Exactly. You don't take the new and try to patch into the old. You can't. Again, remember, the new here is the new relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, and the old is Judaism. Now, the Lord Jesus continues, otherwise they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. Verse 37, and no one pours new wine into old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. Okay, let me explain here what the Lord Jesus is talking about, wineskins and new wine, etc. That way it makes sense as we read the rest of these verses together here. Back in the Lord Jesus' time, wineskins were like goat skins sewn together to make watertight bags, okay? And because new wine would expand as it aged, the new wine had to be placed in a new wineskin, all right? Now, the new wine had to be placed in a new wineskin because a used wineskin could break if new wine is placed in it. Okay, it would break because it was rigid and not pliable. Essentially, it would not stretch. The application here is, the Lord Jesus is saying that the Pharisees were like the old wineskin in that they were rigid, ritualistic in their do's and don'ts, okay? And they were not willing, they were not open to learning the new. They were not open and willing to learn the new revelations that the Lord Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God. They were not pliable. They were not sensitive to discerning that he was the Messiah. Their minds were closed. Their minds were shut. The minds of the Pharisees were rigid. They refused to receive new revelations about God the Father. They were stuck in the old traditions of Judaism. That is essentially what the Lord Jesus is saying here, okay, with this parable. So let us continue here. In fact, I'm going to just go back and pick it up here in verse 37. And no one pours new wine into old wineskin, exactly as I had just explained. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined, exactly as I explained. He continued here in verse 38. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Exactly. You cannot take the new and pour into the old. Essentially, what the Lord Jesus was saying, I have come with a new revelation, teaching the kingdom of God. I am here to fulfill Judaism. I am here to fulfill the do's and don'ts of the law. That is the old garment. That's the old wineskin. We are not going to go back there. Okay, that's really essentially what he was saying. And then that last verse there reads, and no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they said the old is better. Again, referring to the Pharisees who did not want to learn the new teachings. So that is what the Lord Jesus is saying here. Again, just to wrap up this parable, in a nutshell, it's just talking about the fact that the Pharisees and teachers of the law were so rigid in their thinking. They were so caught up in do's and don'ts. Their thinking was so fixed. They were not open to learning anything new. They were just messed up with the traditions. Their spirit man was essentially dead. And with that, that brings us to the end of this teaching here out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. So what is the main application here? This is obvious. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. The new is here. So friend, if you are in Christ Jesus, let go of your ritualistic do's and don'ts. Let go of your church traditions and be sensitive to the fresh revelation from God the Holy Spirit. This is the application here. Let your thinking and your way of doing things in your church or in your personal life not get to a point where it's so rigid that you don't give room for the Holy Spirit to flow. And we see this a lot in many church services, in many Christian meetings where they are so rigid in the way they do things that the Holy Spirit does not even get a chance. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So whatever we do as Christians, as pastors, ministers, we have to know that we have to always be sensitive to the presence and movement of the Holy Spirit. Let us not get caught up in rigidity. Let us not get caught up to be insensitive to the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's really the take-home message here. Let's not be like the Pharisees who were so rigid in the way they did things in church, in the way they did things in their prayer life, in the way they did things in relating to God, that it becomes a ritual that is meaningless. Let's be open to fresh revelations from God the Holy Spirit. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to flow the way he wants to flow. Let us learn new revelation from other Christians, from other ministers. Have an open mind. Let the Holy Spirit just bless you to the full extent. Don't limit the work and flow of the Holy Spirit in your life because of church doctrine, rituals, or traditions. Boy, that stuff is bad. Okay, God can do above and beyond what you can even imagine. Just give him the permission. Okay, so we talked about fasting. I talked a lot about that. Just know that fasting doesn't cause God to give you anything. All of the promises of God through Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And just get into a habit of fasting because it's good for you. It's good for your spiritual discipline and to train your heart to be more and readily sensitive to God. And lastly, the key major principle here and application is that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, the new, to come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to talk to you, giving you the opportunity to do so right now. Jesus Christ, we just went over, He is here. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. All things pass away, the new is here. I am just paraphrasing that scripture. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says if you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as a Messiah, if you believe that He was God 100% and man 100%, and He died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago, and on the third day He was raised from the dead, if you believe that, you confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. It's as simple as that. It's the believing in your heart that matters, okay? That is out of Romans 10:9. So have you personally ever invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart? There is just one Messiah, Jesus Christ. And there is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ. That is out of Acts 4:12. He loves you. He died for your personal sins. So if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, He is here. The new is here. Let go of your way of doing things. Let go of your legalistic way of trying to reach God. You can only have a relationship with God through one person, Jesus Christ, because He is the only human being in the history of the entire world who claimed to be God, and He backed it up 100% with eyewitness, verifiable evidence. He is the only Messiah. And there is only one way to have a relationship with the living God, is through Jesus Christ. So if you've never made a confession of faith, I want to just help you today to just invite the new Jesus Christ into your heart and let go of the old. Jesus Christ will gladly accept. So if you're ready, just repeat this prayer after me. If you believe in your heart that He is your Messiah, that He died for your personal sins, just say, "Dear God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Today, I believe in my heart in Jesus Christ as my Messiah, that He died for my personal sins, and on the third day, He was raised from the dead. I receive my forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, God. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and make me a new person. Thank you for accepting me. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen." Glory to God, friend. When you said that, did you mean that? If you meant that based on the authority of God's word, I declare you a child of God. God, the Holy Spirit, has sealed you, Ephesians 1:13, and your destination is heaven upon your death. And right now, God, the Holy Spirit, is going to start revealing more of Christ to you. He's going to start sanctifying you, purifying you, enabling you to live in the light as a child of God. Thank you for saying that prayer, and welcome into God's kingdom. Glory to God. Contact me so I can send you a free book to help you grow into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and then find a local church in your area and start attending and serve God and just trust Him in every area of your life. And continue to listen to this Bible teaching podcast and grow in your relationship with God. Glory to God. So for all of you who have been with me today, I just thank you that I trust God you have been blessed. And let us pray and thank God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all the listeners. I just thank you for the God that they are living in the newness of their relationship with you. I thank you for the God, if there are any areas of rigidity in their heart, in their lives, if there are any areas of insensitivity to you, we break that in the name of Jesus. I break that bondage in Jesus' name. I just release life into that area that is holding them down. Father, whom the Son set free is free indeed. I just speak blessings over their life, and they've been released to just trust you in every area of life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching them how to live in that new person that they have become in Christ Jesus. You lead and guide them in all of their efforts. Thank you that you continue to bless them with your peace and your joy, and you lead them onto all truths. We thank you for all that you are doing, and we have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we say, amen. Friend, listen to the announcer and find out how you can partake in the blessings in this ministry and support us financially so we can spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God loves you.
As you have been blessed, Can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info at drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.